From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 45 and verse 7. Thou hatest wickedness. Be ye angry, and sin not. There can hardly be goodness in a man if he be not angry at sin. He who loves truth must hate every false way. How our Lord Jesus hated it when temptation came. Thrice it assailed him in different forms, but ever he met it with, Get thee behind me, Satan. He hated it in others. None the less fervently, because he showed his hate oftener in tears of pity than in words of rebuke. Yet what language could be more stern, more Elijah-like, than the words, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. He hated wickedness so much that he bled to wound it to the heart. He died that it might die. He was buried that he might bury it in his tomb. And he rose that he might forever trample it beneath his feet. Christ is in the gospel, and that gospel is opposed to wickedness in every shape. Wickedness arrays itself in fair garments and imitates the language of holiness. But the precepts of Jesus, like his famous scourge of small cords, chase it out of the temple and will not tolerate it in the church. So too, in the heart where Jesus reigns, what war there is between Christ and Belial. And when our Redeemer shall come to be our judge, those thundering words, Depart, ye cursed, which are indeed but a prolongation of his life-teaching concerning sin, shall manifest his abhorrence of iniquity. As warm as is his love to sinners, so hot is his hatred of sin. As perfect as is his righteousness, so complete shall be the destruction of every form of wickedness. O thou glorious champion of right, and destroyer of wrong, for this cause hath God, even thy God, anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
Name me song.
desire to study the Bible, but not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Again, that's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As Pastor Tomassian continues this series from 1 Thessalonians, he will bring the final portion of this message entitled, Knowing How to Please God. We find the text in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4. Having reminded the Thessalonian believers of their need to make continual progress in love and holiness, the Apostle Paul now exhorts them to focus upon Christ, to know that He is the Christ of God and the Lord of their lives. As such, he demands their full allegiance and obedience. Paul calls upon these new Christians to emulate those who have been good examples to them. Most importantly, we are to follow Christ's commands, to follow in His steps. To do that, we must give ourselves to the study of God's Word. Now to conclude this message, knowing how to please God, here is the Reverend Armand Tomassian.
Don't get comfortable. Abound more and more. That's the message. So this is how he begins. As he lays out a call to sanctification. There is no experience of sanctification if there's not a sense of the need of personal progress. Sanctification, by its very nature, is a continual dying unto sin, living on to righteousness. It is therefore a continual going forward. And we all have our ebbs and our flows, our highs and our lows, our days of advancement, our days of declension and backsliding. Paul knows that. He sees the church going on so well. He commends them over and over again, but He leaves no room for complacency. He does not allow them for a moment to think, hey, we've arrived. He does exactly what Christ's commission called him to do. Seeing them converted, He teaches them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So I lay this matter before you, beloved. Many of you are mature. I've been watching your lives, some of you, as the Lord has given opportunity to observe on various occasions, and some of you have been a means of encouragement and challenge, and I'm learning. I'm learning just by watching you, hearing, and rejoicing. And yet, though some of you have been a point of conviction in my own life, and I thank the Lord for it, I say to you, go on. Abound more and more. Don't stop where you are. Go on. Thirdly, then, the source of their education. Verse 2. The source of their education. Really, just briefly looking at this and some things we can learn. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. This refers to what Paul and others had taught them, not the knowledge that they had attained from the Scriptures directly. But for our purposes, it is the same, whether it is what we have, all that we have, whether it is apostolic or from the Lord Himself or what's revealed to us in the Old Testament Scriptures, all of it is given from the Lord. It's all profitable to us. They were living in a time where there was not the completion of the canon. They had not all been written, so they would read the Old Testament Scriptures and they would understand all that they could from that, as well as being told about the life of the Lord Jesus and the apostolic insight into living the Christian life. So they had received this largely orally, combined with the Old Testament Scriptures, and ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. You know, again, calling them to remember. Use your memory to glorify God, and you know what commandments we give you by the Lord Jesus. The Lord gives commandments. As much as this day despises that kind of thing, everyone wants to be master of their own lives. Let it never, or God forbid that it should ever enter into the mind of the believer, that they can live before Christ on their terms. This underscores again the point that we've already made. We are subject to Him. Ye know what commandments we give you. That's what Christ gives. He gives commandments. One writer says, Christ does not appeal to men as the heathen philosophers did. They ask opinions, court criticism, and even the wily and garrulous Socrates gives men an opportunity of differing from him. But Christ, with the authoritative tone and earnestness of the Son of God, says, this is absolute. Believe it and be saved, or reject it and be damned. And again, this is what the church needs reminded of. These are not matters of debate. Christ does not enter into dialogue with his people to learn of their suggestions and get feedback that he might, again, help in terms of the direction of the kingdom of Christ. He gives commandments. He sits on his throne and declares his will. And you either submit, and you kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, or you will perish. You will suffer. Let that be known to everyone here this morning. If you are not already a subject to Christ, you will perish. You will suffer beyond your comprehension. You should kiss the Son. That is, make reconciliation with the one you have offended. Seek Him for mercy. Be reconciled to God. Repent and believe the gospel. Turn from a life of disobedience. It may seem that you're getting away with it. And oh, how many have lived out through years thinking they're getting away with some partial obedience to Christ. Saul fell into that trap, didn't he? Saul thought it was fine, just a measure of partial obedience, and go and kill that king and wipe out everything. And he goes and Samuel comes and he says, I've fulfilled, I've done the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel goes, Well, what's the bleating? I'm hearing bleating and the lowing of the cattle. That was not what you were given to do. You've set yourself above the commandment of the Lord. You went into the matter and you thought to yourself, well, I'll execute it, but I'll do it on my own terms. God took the kingdom from him. Saul suffered unimaginably because he was convinced that by partial obedience it would be sufficient. And how many are in Greenville? How many are in Greenville living their Christianity on their own terms, thinking to themselves that they can circumvent the commandments of Christ and make little changes that they think there'll be no consequences to? Oh, how they are in for a rude awakening. You know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Obey the commandments. Give yourself to the Word. And a wonderful thing will happen if you do. I'm not saying your life will go just perfectly as if everything will fall into place and all your dreams will come true. But I'll tell you what will happen. Psalm 1 will happen. But no matter what famine is around you, you'll find yourself like a tree planted by the rivers of water. No matter what else is going on in your life, you'll find that you're still bringing forth fruit in your season. I was amazed recently considering Joshua again. Turn over to Joshua chapter 1 just for a moment. Joshua chapter 1. Moses is dead. Joshua is called to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Now, the Lord says to him, repeatedly calls him to be strong and of good courage. Verse 6. Verse 7, be strong, very courageous. It says that thou mayest observe to do, verse 7, according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Joshua is about to enter into, well, he is called to lead not just the nation, but specifically in terms of its military conflict with the inhabitants that are still in the land. He's called to a plethora of things that he needs to know how to be a leader. He needs to know how to lead an army. He needs to know how to enter into military conflict. He needs to know the strategy. He needs all of that. And the Lord says to him that the key to his success does not lie in studying the military battles of the past and strategies that they may learn from of previous battles engaged in by others. It does not call him to be a master leader and learn from all the literature of the day that tells you how to lead a country, lead a nation, be a political figure, be a kind of business CEO character, whatever. The key to his success, to his prosperity, is in one thing. Give yourself to the Word. Know it and do it. That's it. Not even all that we have here, just the first five books. Keep reading them. Keep studying them. Keep meditating in them. Keep giving yourself to them. Keep executing yourself in terms of practicing all that it calls you to be and to do. That is it. You will lead the nation. You will win the warfare. You will inherit the land. It will all be yours. Success, prosperity, blessing is found in obeying the Word. Now, here we are, centuries and centuries later, and we're more evolved and more developed and more advanced, and We now think that, well, it's not just the word we need. We need all the wisdom of this current generation, all the psychology, all the philosophy. We need all of that to success, to succeed, to advance. And you know what it is? You know what it is? Deep down, it is a rejection of the sufficiency of Scripture. We don't actually believe the Word is sufficient. We're not convinced that it really is the only thing we need. So we go to this, and we go to that, and we go to the other. And I'm not in any way against other things in terms of the help. I have read many a book, and many of them have been helpful. I'm not against it. Not against learning from history. Not against any of that. But there is an element where I think many of us, I include myself, can easily fall into the trap where really we don't believe the Word is all we need. Read it. Memorize it. Apply it. Share it. This is the way true prosperity. Oh, we may have our hardships. Joshua certainly had them. Difficulties, battles, we're not in glory yet. But that sense of continued inner peace and forward advancement and sanctification of our own lives and glorifying the Lord no matter the circumstances will come not by quaint sayings, but by the Word of God gripping our hearts. When I actually believe this is, and look, this is entering into all sorts of areas. I do not have time to begin to address how we begin to philosophize, put ourselves above the Word of God. It's plain teaching in terms of the instruction and discipline of children. And we've taken new ideas, new, completely ludicrous interpretations of Scripture to cause us to fit alongside with the modern psychology of the best way of raising children, which sets aside how the Lord uses. He uses the rod of correction in lives. But now we know better. It amazes me that people can't join the dots. Look where we are. What have we forsaken that has brought us to this point? Beloved, I simply say again, the Lord Jesus wants you, calls you, through the language of the apostle given to us here, but Spirit inspiring every single word being God breathed, calling you to walk and to please God, to abound more and more, to apply yourself. There's more I wanted to say, but my time is gone. But consider this. May the Lord encourage your hearts by this simple fact. He, though it seems so hard for us, and we feel so weak in and of ourselves, He has given power for us to actually do what is written in His Word. Let us by faith lay claim to the Spirit. Let us by faith trust in His Word. And rest that He knows best. May it be our guard and our guide every day of our lives.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.